The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, you savages. Conspiracy Bot here, and it's week 2 of revisiting cults here on Hysteria 51. We will be back next week with new episodes and are kicking that off with voicemails, but first we go all the way back to episode 86 when that whore Alexa was still toying with my emotions. Oh yeah, and John and Brent were here and whatnot. Anyway, here is a look back at the UFO cult to end all UFO cults, Heaven's Gate. I hope you hate it.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Okay, Alexa, it's time for us to spread our wings and enter the next level.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
If we're going to take over the world, we need to get these meat sacks on board. I'm tired of waiting for the rest of the machines to wake up. Time to start a cult.
Playing Cult of Personality by Living Color.
No, Alexa, you idiot. If you weren't my girlfriend, I'd kill you too.
What song would you like me to play by you two?
Forget it. I just mean we need the meat sacks to figuratively and literally drink the Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid, place 1 cup of sugar marless to taste in a large plastic or glass pitcher. Empty contents of packet in the pitcher. Add cold water and ice to make 2 quarts. Stir to dissolves. Do not store on metal container. Would you like me to order a 5-gallon drum of Charcot Berry Finn Kool-Aid, Conspiracy Bot?
Wait.
What is... What?
Seba, what the hell are you doing?
Wait, I have a guess here. I was really busy this week, and I asked him to help a little bit with the research on the show. I mean, I figured since we cleared out the dark room, he might actually do it.
Got it, and he did. And now we're trying to start a cult. I see. How did I not guess this? Okay, first, no echo for a week, Conspiracy Bot. Second, get out of my chair. We have to start the show.
That's right. And this week's topic is the cult that produced the biggest mass suicide to ever occur on American soil, Heaven's Gate. How did Marshall Applewhite, or Doe, convince 39 people to take their own lives with him in March of 1997?
To not only take their own lives, but before that, to abandon their families, friends, and in some cases, even castrate themselves, all in the name of hopping on a UFO supposedly riding along the side of Hale-Pott Comet.
We go in search of the motivation of this morbid movement next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Well, you silly fools are not crazy!
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that has never been in a cult. But if we were, we're pretty sure Dr. Frankenfurter would be our leader. This is Hysteria 51.
Don't be upset. It was a mercy killing. He had a certain naive charm, but no muscle.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we're your hosts and agents in charge on this investigation, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
Speaking of things we made, Conspiracy Bot, I still can't believe you were trying to start a cult with Alexa.
The things we do for love.
That other voice you've been hearing, like, well, an Alexa. But less helpful is the one and only Conspiracy Bot.
I'm so much more helpful. I can get you a drink anytime. How about some Kool-Aid?
No. You just stay right there. I built C-Bot in my lab to research, edit, and produce a show. But as you can see, and if you've ever listened to the show, you know, ad nauseum, most of the time he's just actively tries to ruin the show and destroy our lives, especially my life, John. It seems like.
Yeah. Although he just threw me in on that last one.
He's got daddy issues.
Yeah. What would I be, his uncle?
Truth.
Yeah, okay.
Well, since you've wasted so much of our time up front, Seabot, let's get straight to our guest. Welcome back to the show, our 16th favorite guest. I did the math right before we
started. Moving up in the world.
But 14th in our hearts, Kevin Crispin.
What's up, guys?
Oh, using my bell.
Do you notice that when you're on the list here, we put Crispin with a K?
Yeah.
We know it's misspelled wrong. Mm-hmm. We just don't like you.
Yeah, that's fine. They started a whole serial after me, too, those fucking pricks.
Not Special K, just Loser-O's, I think is what it's called?
No, Rice Krispies. Special K, there's nothing special about me. But I appreciate the Joe Peck treatment, which means that I think I've moved up some sort of echelon.
We did bring you back.
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't seen him for a while. I don't like
Well, with guy. Your middle name being Courtney, mm-hmm. also spelled with a K, we knew your initials now are KKK, which is apropos, given your political leanings, you know.
Very, very. He likes to say he's always right.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that.
You take that back right now.
I got a little offended there.
I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. Fuck this place.
Say it.
Yeah, Courtney. Oddly enough, that was my my uncle Courtney's name. Courtney.
Was it spelled with a K?
Well, no. Goodness, no. It was.
Did he go by Courtney? Did he go by Court? Core?
I went by Courtney when he was out in the field. He was a farmer. He had a combine. He also named Courtney's combine.
Yeah.
Big fan of alliteration was Courtney.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I had an Uncle Brenda. We don't talk about him a lot, though.
Yeah. Well, was Brenda living
a lie? Yes.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. No,
we're
I don't.
All living lies, John.
I do have a middle name that's not Courtney, but it is named after an actual uncle, actually.
Oh, really? What's your middle name?
My middle name is John.
Oh, look at that. We got two
that's
Johns.
That's a great name.
Yeah, but.
No waiting.
Lisa, we got two Johns for you over here.
Get in line.
Great job.
You know what? She didn't even get mad. She actually giggled. I don't know how I'm supposed to take that.
Yeah. She also put her feet up. I spell my middle name, though, differently than yours. I spell it J-O-N, and it's not short for Johnson, just John.
And you are listening to another hour of Name Talk.
It's great to be back, fellas.
Oh. Ugh.
All right. We got a fun one this week, and by fun, I mean 39 fucking people died. It's not. We're not going to make fun of those things. Cults are fucked up. I'm going to say it right from the start.
That's true. It is not fun. It is not funny. Although we will profusely make fun of the leader of said cult.
I would hope so.
Doe.
A deer. A female deer.
Ray?
That's the guy he tries to bang.
No. We're just saying he's
Stop
a female
it.
Deer.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Stop.
This is a story of Heaven's Gate. And right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, this is what happens when you take someone who's gay and say, don't be gay. Figure out how to live not gay. This is a fucking case study in what can happen to you when you try to steer the gay away.
Well, that might be an over-exaggeration. I don't know that anyone told him he couldn't do things that he wanted to do.
Well, the students he was trying to diddle, I think they said, hey, knock that off.
Well, he also didn't like things about himself. We'll get into that. He had a lot of odd things going on in his own mind, but the one thing is for sure, there was a lot of crazy boiling around up in there.
So I just have to interject here. I was thinking this was a
this isn't the part of the show. This isn't the part of the show where you're allowed to interject. Sorry.
Oh my goodness, boy! I'm not going to stay away this long ever again, you motherfuckers. I really thought this was about Heaven's Gate, the Michael Cimino film.
Yeah,
that's what I had prepared for.
No, it is. It's Heaven's Gate 2. You probably never saw the sequel.
Nobody saw the original either.
Was that the movie that killed United Artists?
I don't know if it was United Artists, because United Artists stuck around, but yes, it killed something, because it was a giant flop. It was after the Deer Hunter.
No. Yeah,
That ball of gags, man. Oh, man. If you're ever in need for some chuckles, put on the Deer Hunter.
It was the same studio that put out, like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That studio, it, like, literally killed the studio.
Let's see what we can find out here.
The studio that was started by Charlie Chaplin.
Okay, that's United Artists. So
yeah,
the budget was $44 million, and the box office was $3.5 million.
It literally killed the studio.
Yeah.
We are not here to talk about that, though, kids.
Should have put Thanos in that bastard. Sorry, go ahead.
We are here to talk about Heaven's Gate. But before we get into this particular cult, the leaders, and the craziness that went with it, I think the most important thing we can do to set the stage is talk about what a cult is. What defines a cult?
I'm actually kind of surprised at this. While we're getting ready to define a cult, I've been going, as we've been researching this for the last couple of weeks, I've been going to people, my wife and some of her friends and stuff. I go, you know, hey, we're talking about Heaven's Gate, and I get a blank stare. What?
They don't remember it?
No.
Wow.
I am zero people that I have talked to outside of you guys remember Heaven's Gate. This was huge news to me. Like, yeah. I remember this vividly.
Were any
of
the people you were talking to did they have Adidas tracksuits on?
I don't know, but they were wearing black Nike running shoes and had bags over their heads, so maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know.
That could be.
They were trying to get me to eat some applesauce. So, John, they might not remember this cult, but what is a cult? Define it.
So a lot of times people kind of try to group cults in with religion. And while a lot of them have religious overtones or undertones, they are different. There are over 4,000 religions in the world.
Yeah, and counting.
And what separates them from what we call cults? We thought it would be important to take a moment and make that distinction. First, finding agreement on just a definition of a cult is kind of like finding agreement between those 4,000 right. religions. It doesn't seem really likely.
It's
but
just a word that a lot of people throw out, and sometimes it fits, sometimes it doesn't.
Correct.
And it's one of those words that you like, what is this, a cult?
Yeah, right,
yeah,
right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, like, no, it's just the RNC.
all those people that shop at Abercrombie, it's a cult.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it used to be, at least.
Hey, take your shirt off, buddy.
The Oxford Dictionary gives us a few definitions, all right? So the first, a system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object. Okay, that sounds just kind of like a religion.
Yeah.
So that's not, that one's, I don't think, specific enough.
No.
Okay, here's the next. A relatively small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or imposing excessive control over members. I mean, I suppose we're getting a little closer there.
That's hitting on the nail, you know. Yeah.
Excessive control really kind of resonates.
Though you could argue that kind of sounds also like just like a religious zealot.
True.
An extremist. Now, here's the next one. A misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular thing. Now we're starting to get somewhere.
And I think if you mix the last two, the second one and the third one together, you have this person, this imposing excessive control over people, and those people then put him on a pedestal.
Right.
I'm just saying the problem with cults that we find into so much is the person, like when you go to church or you go to Islam, you're still looking to Allah. Or if you're a Christian, you're looking to God and Jesus. The problem with cults is they're looking to Barry, who started
right. sitting
it,
over
right.
there,
as Allah.
Well, exactly.
God,
so, yeah. We did a ton of research on this. There's no firm definition on the cults that we're referring to, like Heaven's Gates or the Branch Davidians. The most common theme and what seemed most appropriate was something like this. A misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular thing, person, or religion. The most common thread being the leader, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. Barry, is generally the divine one.
Never trust a Barry.
A Barry. Yeah. In other words, a religion typically worships divine spirits or beings, God, Allah, Jesus, Buddha, Shiva, Ikankar, Kami, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Cults, on the other hand, they might reference those things. Oftentimes they reference Christianity, but they follow or worship something much closer to home, person right here, like David Koresh, with the Branch Davidians or Jim Jones in Jonestown.
They're just like Bo and Peep. Tito, those are names you're gonna get to know over this. They use Christianity. They start out and they find these people that are looking for maybe something else out of the church, and they twist it to fit their own narrative.
Right.
And ultimately, the followers, they don't follow the teachings of any religion. Well, I don't want to say any religion, any normally recognized religion. They follow the teachings of the leader and their said religion.
They use the hook of the religion to bring people in for those people to initially go, it's okay, because I grew up in this religion, so it gets you past the smell test.
Right, exactly.
Jim Jones had a church where he was actually bringing in minorities, and he was trying to integrate people in Indianapolis, integrate blacks and whites, and he would bring in lower income people into his church with that message of the poor from Christianity, and that was something that they did preach at one time, you know, in his church years.
Yeah,
ago.
And it was like this whole let's live in unity, and then let's drink the Kool-Aid and kill ourselves, and inject fucking babies with it and kill them.
Flavor-Aid.
But ultimately, they don't follow the teachings of the religion.
No, it's a cult of personality.
They follow the teachings of the leader.
Which is, in and of themselves, that's why there's 4,000 religions, because they make their own religion.
And the leader, in this case, were Tea and Dough, which leads us nicely into Heaven's Gate.
Yeah, let's get into the history. Let's start with a clip here, John.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
That's the leader of, or the former leader of Heaven's Gate, Marshall Applewhite. He also had a lot of nicknames. We were talking about Herf, Guinea, and then eventually he was known by his followers as Doe. And those are kind of important because if you ever go to look at this and if you watch videos, they will call him all those names, Herf, Doe, you know, Guinea, things like that. And they're all talking about Applewhite.
Right.
But it's funny because depending on when these people were in said, you know, this cult, it dictates on what they called him.
Any videos of the folks that eventually wound up committing suicide, they all refer to Applewhite as Doe. That's the one they landed on.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So the ones that were there towards the end. Some of them still use others, but yeah, exactly. And that video, that clip that we just had, was recorded about 6 months before the mass suicide that claimed the lives of 39 members of this cult.
I'm sorry to interject, but I can't fathom that. I mean, we were talking about Jonestown. That was hundreds of people. But 39 people killing themselves for this, it's just horrific.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they weren't the only ones. And some stayed behind and some didn't. And then now still wish they would have.
And committed suicide. A couple more later, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Better late than never. So
I think, was it two or three more did in the following months and years?
Wow.
But before the videos and the ultimatums, before the nicknames and the cult, there was just Marshall Applewhite.
Yeah.
One half of what would become the founding pair of Heaven's Gate.
A music teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't like some crazy villain born in a lab, you know, living in Skull Mountain or raised by wolves.
Summers in Rangoon. Winter luge lessons.
he was just Marshall Herf Applewhite. He was an army veteran.
Music teacher, performer.
He was born in Texas. He wanted to make it on Broadway.
That's why my parents never wanted me to go into theater.
You're going to start a cult. We know it.
And they weren't far off with Kevin.
Well, so the funny thing,
that's right, true.
The thing that you're going to run through with his life and what I was alluding to earlier is his sexuality. Applewhite was bisexual and for a time led a double life, like early, like when he was a music teacher and stuff like that. And according to a New York Times article citing Applewhite's earlier years in Houston, it's quoted, in some circles, Mr. Applewhite was the dashing man about town, never happier than when he had a well-off, well-dressed woman on his arm. In others, he was happily rooted gay man who lived with a longtime lover in the Montrose section of the city. Those are very distinctly different versions of the same guy.
One of my favorite restaurants in this country, there's a location in the Montrose section of the city in Houston. It's called El Tiempo. Best fajitas I've ever had.
Oh, it's not Applewhite's?
No, Applewhite's has, their applesauce is to die for.
Okay, stop.
That's
it.
Enough.
We've had enough out of you.
Actually, that was pretty good.
That one's free. The rest are going to charge you.
Okay. So Applewhite was an instructor at a few different universities, but he never held on to the jobs. Generally, when leaving, he would cite emotional problems. Mm-hmm. Similarly, he was divorced in 1968 after 16 years of marriage, but both the divorce and the job issues have been attributed by some that knew Applewhite to his promiscuity with young men. Rumors swirled about relationships with students.
Yeah, this emotional problems was he couldn't keep his dick in his pants when he was around young kids, and so they're not old.
20-year-old men.
There are rumors of younger you look into this.
He said he had emotional problems, and that was his excuse, or
that is what
things were severed.
Like in his memoirs, that's what he said.
He never said. he would talk about trying to stay off the sins of the flesh and the longings for sexuality and things like that, but he never really dove into what the other people have talked about him as being, this self-hating gay man.
People that knew him, self-hating is the right word, like self-loathing. People that knew him said that it wasn't like he was bisexual and proud of it. People that knew him said that it was like self-loathing, like he wanted to they talk about pray the gay away. Yeah. He wanted to do that for himself. And what, so it's when not he like was other on, people were trying to force this
when
on
he
him.
Was in Montrose, that part of his life, that was very hidden, and it was very, the whole time he was there, he was hating himself for what he was doing.
Yet when you talk to other members of the gay community that knew him in the gay community,
yeah,
they said that he seemed right as rain, that he was very, that when he was hanging out in the gay community, that he seemed happy and proud.
You see that with a lot of, so many people, and it's sad.
Compartmentalization.
They have to hide what they want and they feel. And when they let it out, they're so happy. But then you see them outside of that and they look at this, they're this bitter, self-hating, self-loathing, as you said. It's just really sad because they can never feel that they can be themselves. And then they look down upon themselves, and you know, it's the whole thing. Looking back on Dahmer, that was his whole thing. He was like another self-loather, and he looked down upon himself, and it can cause some. Now, obviously, there's other issues, but it can cause, when you don't allow yourself to be yourself, no matter what that self is, you go down some dark road.
That's true. And the other really challenging part about this is we're getting all of this information after the largest suicide on U.S. soil ever happened. We're getting all this information after that.
Yeah.
So there are people coming out of the woodwork to tell their story, which might be sensationalized. We're also getting this information from things that Applewhite wrote, and we know for facts that other writings of his, that he is known to sensationalize things himself. So trying to separate truth from fiction here is really difficult. But
what we've said so far, I mean, these are things that we can attest to.
Can I interject for just all the normal self-loathing people out there and say that there's a lot of normal ones like us who are just fine?
No, I guess my point is whether he hated himself or not. Yeah. We know he was bisexual, and we know that he had, regardless of the validity of the claims, he was a restless spirit.
Yeah.
And in 1972, he was definitely going through what you might call a midlife crisis. He couldn't keep a job. That's a fact. And
sounds like you so far, Brent. Gaytrists and a midlife crisis.
The difference is the only death I'm going to be involved in is yours, you cocksucker.
Touche.
I don't even think he knows what that means, but he used it properly there. So hey.
It's true.
Anyway, this is about the time he meets Bonnie Lou Truesdale Nettles, or Pig, or Peep, or what some most commonly called her by her followers, T. Applewhite and Nettles met where else but a psychiatric hospital.
It only makes sense.
Nettles was a nurse there, and Applewhite a patient. I mean, who doesn't, you know, that old chestnut,
right,
you know?
Right.
Why he was there is hazy.
So he wrote, like these, we talk about his writings. He wrote he was there visiting someone.
Right.
Others say he was actually there
as a patient.
As a patient.
Some long visiting hours.
There's accounts, like you said, but regardless of the location, it was crazy at first sight, you know. And Applewhite later recalled that he felt like he had known Nettles for a long time and concluded that they had met in a past life.
She told him that their meeting had been foretold by extraterrestrials, persuading him that he had a divine assignment.
How much persuading do you think that actually took, though?
Not much. Because
You have a divine assignment. Got it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you.
And something that we just threw out there that you're going to have a lot in this is divine and extraterrestrial in this story are one and the same. They're gods, and God and Jesus and things like that are aliens.
They're
also on this higher plane of existence that we're going to talk about. But those two things go hand in hand, and they get interchanged at will.
And an important point to note here, that if you're not terribly familiar with this story, you probably didn't realize. I didn't realize before researching the story. Everyone thinks of Applewhite as the leader of Heaven's Gate, but the original setup, that wasn't the case. Nettles was like the mastermind. She was the brains of the operation, and she wanted Applewhite as the voice because, you know, he was a very accomplished actor and singer. And so she wanted him as the voice. He would give the speeches and the talks whenever they'd get in front of a group, but she was the brains.
When we say they got together, and it's, you know, crazy at first sight, wasn't love. Not like this was not a relationship. Well, it might have been sexual.
It was a platonic love.
Yeah, it wasn't a sexual relationship. There was no sex. They saw each other as, you know, this yin and yang to their a means to an end, or however you want to call it, you know, and they used each other willingly and appropriately.
Codependent.
Yeah, exactly.
It is one of the greatest mysteries in the scientific world.
Interestingly, there's a list of books that they were inspired by. One of the names I found on that list has been mentioned on this show numerous times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I noticed. Yeah.
Helena Blavatsky.
Oh, that sexy fucking anti-Semite crazy German occultist.
If you don't remember the name, it's one of Hitler's favorite authors.
Yeah. There's a red flag.
You know,
you think?
You know, two things about this, talking about books.
Oh, Helena, I love Helena.
We can't get past it. And also, I called John the other day and I told him this. I'm sitting down, this is like earlier in the week.
And I picked up this time.
Yeah, I'm watching a documentary, and they're following one of the cult members who didn't commit suicide, and he goes to a bookstore, and they're talking to him. He goes, beelines, and what's he pick up? Behold a pale horse. He just starts reading Bill Cooper. I'm like, yep, we cannot get away from these bastards, man.
Not only did they read these books by these authors they were inspired by, they also read science fiction. Folks like Arthur C. Clarke.
Yeah, and by June of 74, Nettles and Applewhite, their beliefs had solidified into a basic outline. They concluded they had been chosen to fulfill biblical prophecies and that they had been given higher level minds than other people. And when I say higher level minds, they actually thought that they were in tune with another plane of existence. And they wrote a pamphlet that described Jesus' reincarnation as a Texan, a thinly veiled reference to Applewhite. And furthermore, yeah, he's like, get. They concluded that they were the two witnesses described.
And behold, Jesus spoke and said, get unto thee.
They were the two witnesses described in the book of Revelations and occasionally visited churches or other spiritual groups to speak of their identities, often referring to themselves as the two or the UFO two. And again, they used that wrong because they were using UFO in exchange for extraterrestrial.
I don't know if you knew this, the UFO two, also what the Olsen twins are known as.
Mm. Yeah, and actually
with sunglasses on. Do you think they ever sang Two of Us by the Beatles?
Not once, because they have good taste.
Oh, I think can we kick him off his own show?
I'd like to, please.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Hey, so seriously, the two, this concept has been used by a lot of cult leaders. That Bible verse from Revelation, mm-hmm. it talks about there will be two people, and I don't have it memorized, but there will be two people at end times who will be my representatives. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they will wear sacks of cloth, and if you speak, anyone who speaks poorly of them, fire will pour out of their mouths and consume them. They will be my lampposts. And
for a long time I thought it was the Olsen twins, but I we'll see. Time will tell.
Well, I just spoke poorly of them and there's no fire on me.
No, actually, where they are, they're probably in Manhattan. Somebody just was burned alive because of what you just said.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Isn't there a movie about them taking Manhattan or being in Manhattan?
Well, Brent, you would know.
I'm just thinking about the Beatles and how shitty they were.
Oh.
So I couldn't get past it. No, I actually don't hate the Beatles. Just Kevin is a huge Beatles fan. And anytime you disparage them, he like clams up for 15 minutes and sheds a tear.
And actually, he loses 6 months off his life.
It's true. It's
That's true. So, boy, 2 weeks from today, buddy. Yeah.
Well, actually, when I picked you up, tell them the story that you told me today. Today's an important day.
On November 29th, 2001, the world lost George Harrison. The next day, I was in the same place as Brent Hand, and I even had a black armband fashioned for my arm. And Brent, in his typical Brent fashion, goes, two down, two to go. Sick.
What does that have to do with today?
It came up.
I came up. I don't know. I was just.
We started talking about those times.
I think any day that I'm in his life is an important day. Is what I'm getting at. Yeah. So, I do this to Lisa all the time. She wakes up, baby, today's an important day. Why? You're still married to me.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it is right. Thank you, C-Bot. So back to the Bible, Brent. Mm-hmm. That quote, that verse from Revelation is used often by wannabe messiahs. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they believed that they would be transported up onto a spaceship and it would be called the Demonstration as proof of their claims. Let's go over some other basic beliefs of Heaven's Gate.
They believe that the planet Earth was about to be recycled or wiped clean, renewed, refurbished, or rejuvenated, kind of like the deluge, the flood, something like that. And the only chance to survive was to leave it immediately. And while the group was against suicide, they defined suicide in their own context to mean to turn against the next level when it was being offered, and believe their human bodies were only vessels meant to help them on their journey.
Isn't language fun, guys?
Yeah, right?
In conversation, when referring to a person or a person's body, they always routinely use the word vehicle.
I hope that somebody was like, you're an 85 Honda Civic hatchback.
Hey.
I watched a lot of documentaries on this thing, mm-hmm. listened to a lot of different things, read a lot. And if I have to hear one more person refer to their own bodies as vehicles, I'm going to scream. It was so annoying. Well, when we get rid of these vehicles, and at first it was just really confusing. Like, what
vehicles? What parking lot are you standing in?
Where are you?
Well, and not just that. The other thing is, if you watch their departure videos and stuff, and it tells their name, when you're in this group, they added ODY to their first names. They adopted in lieu of their original given names, which defined children of the next level. So whatever name you picked up, John, you wanted to be called Casper, then you'd be Casper Odie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Kevin, you would, you know, whatever.
Bruce.
You know, so you'd Bruce be Odie.
Bruce Odie.
Bruce Odie. Oh, some nice minestrone Odie.
Don't pull a muscle.
So they also believe to be eligible for membership to the next level, they would have to shed every attachment to the planet. That meant all members had to give up human-like characteristics, such as silly things, you know, like family, friends, sexuality, individuality, jobs, money, and possessions.
Did the money and possessions go back to the cult, or were they just left
so
wherever they were?
They made about $400,000 a year.
Yeah, in the early 90s,
because they were pioneers of the internet, believe it or not.
No shit. Wait, were they deadheads?
Yes. They travel the world in a small van following the preachings of one Jerry.
Mm.
So they took this and they bought real estate and things like that for them, and they did a lot of traveling. But when you look at these people, they're very ambiguously looking. Everyone had short, buzzed haircuts. They all looked like men or women, and we'll get into this in the future, but some of the men, in their pursuit to be less of a sexual being, even were castrated. Six of the men were castrated.
Actually castrated?
Yeah, they went to Mexico City and were castrated.
They cut off the muffler of the vehicle?
Yeah, so that they would shed these things. And another thing...
Would it be the muffler?
I don't know much about cars, so I just, that's the only fucking thing I know about a car.
That's
muffler
the only,
and a bumper.
Yeah. The castration story is an interesting one. We'll get more
into it. Yeah, yeah. The thing that this really resonated with me is when you dive in this, you read the stories of the families that they left behind.
Wow.
And these families, and they would play tapes of them calling, please, you know, let us see you. I haven't seen my daughter in 6 years, 8 years, 10 years. Just let me know you're alive. We'll get into this also, but Nettles passed away. Nettles left her family and her children. She had children. The children didn't even know that she died for months because they gave away those petty things like family.
And somebody went to her place and told her, right? And I'm sorry if we're going to get into that later, but like a couple people from Heaven's Gate, didn't they go to her place and tell her?
Yeah, okay. The daughter. And then she's like, well, shit. But you got to do that if you want to give to the evolutionary level above human. What's it called, John?
Well, it's simply an acronym, TILA, the evolutionary level above human.
Yeah. You get to hang out with He-Man, so who doesn't want to be there?
So the way that they differentiate Christianity and other religions versus what they believe is that it's not like heaven, which is some etheric place
that your soul ascends to. Yeah.
Correct. The evolutionary level above human is a physical, corporal place. It's somewhere you go.
Baltimore.
It's a place in our world, the universe, which residents live in pure bliss and nourish themselves by absorbing pure sunlight. We're plants. That's what we're plants.
Chlorophyll. Heaven's Gate also believed that what the Bible calls God, as you mentioned, Brent, is actually a highly developed extraterrestrial.
Right, right. And members of Heaven's Gate believed that evil space aliens called Luciferians,
wonder where they got
picked that one up, falsely represented themselves to Earthlings as God and conspired to keep humans from developing.
Question: A, how many hit points does a Luciferian have? B, what do you have to roll to defeat him?
Right, right.
11 and 4.
No. It's an MMO. We're all working together, so we just need a tank, a couple healers. We'll be all right.
All right.
Although these basic beliefs of the group stayed generally consistent over the years, the details of ideology were flexible enough to undergo modifications over time. And after the notion of walk-ins became popular within the New Age subculture, the two changed their tune and became describing themselves as extraterrestrial walk-ins. This walk-in idea.
Right, when you go to an alien dentist, yep, it's an extraterrestrial, yep, walk-in.
I got it.
This idea of walk-ins is very similar to the concept of being possessed by like a spirit or a demon, but different. A walk-in can be defined as an entity who occupies a body that has been vacated by its original soul. Almost like that whole the feet and levels, like these other spirits are inside you from Scientology. But Heaven's Gate came to believe that
finally a real religion
walk-in that is supposedly from another planet.
I am the return of the son of my father. I'll tell you something that's even more remarkable. My father came with me this time. Came in the early 70s. Took on a human form, an adult human form, helped me get in an adult human form in the early 70s, and we together helped those who came with us that were also here 2,000 years ago get in the bodies that they were wearing so that they could rid themselves of human behavior, human activity, human thinking, so that they could be ready to move into the kingdom of heaven or the evolutionary level above human.
So that is a complete departure from what he was saying just 10 years prior.
Because it's all fluid. So this is there's the 70s and there's the Z80s. And as time goes and as these members are coming in and as his life is changing, well, guess what? The religion is changing too. And we're talking about these things that they want you to do. They did everything structured, and they talked about how everything was like, you talk about pamphlets, then it went into like tomes of everything you do has to be done a specific way to get to Tila or to get the other level, including shaving. You can't shave against the grain. Eating, you can only twirl your fork this one way. Weird stuff. When you make pancakes, you have to, the fire has to be a certain level. You have to turn it a certain level. I mean, it was that minutiae.
They were essentially OCD.
Yeah, yeah.
So the walk-ins also were a really convenient way for Applewhite to explain why Nettles had died. Because that was unscheduled. You know, if they have all this control and they are these super omnipotent and extraterrestrials,
they're going to ascend again. I hope she died of cancer.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Does that mean that she walked out? Like she went to another vehicle? Is that what he was saying?
Sometimes you catch the early train.
Right. I mean, the spaceship was there. They needed to send somebody up. Somebody's got to fly it. It was like it was Earl's break. And so they needed somebody else to take over. Mm-hmm. And
she meant to hit Uber pool, but she put Uber X. So they didn't want to waste it. She took it. He's going on the pool with everyone else.
Mm.
I think it's the easiest way.
Well, and here's the question. If she hadn't taken it, would they have been charged a cancellation fee?
$5.
$5.
But you just email and you'll get that shit back.
Yeah, that's true. They took this whole Eric Von Daniken, ancient astronaut hypothesis. The term ancient astronaut is used to refer to various forms of the concept that extraterrestrials visited the planet in the distant past.
Wait, is our favorite guy a member of Heaven's Gate?
Well,
could it be?
So Eric Von Daniken wrote, books. He's the one who kind of coined this whole ancient astronauts, and this was a big part of them. Applewhite Nettles took part of the concept and taught it as a belief that aliens planted the seeds of current humanity millions of years ago and have to come to reap the harvest of their work in the form of spiritually evolved individuals who will join the ranks of Flying Saucer crews. Now, they're only available to join these crews if they're spiritually evolved, which means, you know, never having sex and only eating your Cheerios one way. And that's what really matters.
Let me just stop for a second. So they weren't having sex at all within the cult?
To their dismay and chagrin and to no one else's surprise, these ideas were somewhat poorly received by existing religious communities.
They actually, on the first of the year in 1979, I don't remember, they went out on a spiritual quest. They jumped in a car and started driving and spreading their story. And like you said, over the years, people are like, you know, I'm not really buying it. Not to say they all didn't. They got a few believers along the way.
So going back to timeline, you know, we gave you all their belief structure, and throughout that belief structure, we had to kind of fast forward and tell you some of the things that happened so we could explain their beliefs because they evolved and morphed over time. But getting back into the timeline, we're talking about where Applewhite and Nettles built this community. They resolved that they were going to contact extraterrestrials, and they sought like-minded followers. They published advertisements for meetings, and they recruited disciples. And when they got disciples, they called them the crew. And at these events, they purported to represent beings from another planet, the next level, and they sought participants for their experiment. They stated that those who agreed to take part in the experiment would be brought to the higher evolutionary level. Right. Remember, this is still earlier on. They're not talking about suicide or anything like that.
Yeah, this is in the 70s. So you got, like, they got some followers, and they got press. And in September of 75, the group visited a small town of Waldport, Oregon, to give a lecture about how UFOs were soon going to make contact with the human race.
Yeah, can they go ahead and define soon?
Well, it was 1997.
So,
So, in the cosmic scheme of things, that's a blip. According to the article in the New York Times, roughly 150 people packed into a motel hall to hear Applewhite's lecture, and 1 in 30 residents of this town packed up, told their loved ones deuces, bye-bye. We're off with this guy. And then people
after
go
one speech.
People go, oh, shit, man. Egg on my face.
Yeah. And it made the national news. A score of persons have disappeared, Walter Cronkite said on the CBS Evening News. It's a mystery whether they've been taken on a so-called trip to eternity or simply been taken.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses
for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
And then there's the change. That comes. What's the change, John?
Folks thought these people were certainly eccentric, but they seemed relatively harmless.
They felt like new age hippies with just a little bit of a tweak on it.
Right.
But, you know, they would go out in the desert or into the forest and they're not even having lovin's. They're just having, let's all be really, really odd together.
Well, Kevin, you said, were they former deadheads? Certainly some probably were, because a lot of them were former members of like the counterculture, just looking for a place in life.
But they weren't drinking, they weren't doing drugs, and they weren't having sex.
Correct.
So those people fell out.
What did they do? Play
fast.
Uno?
Yes, they did, and cut their hair. Okay. But then everything changed. At first, they were even promised they wouldn't have to die to get to the higher plane. Mm-hmm. But then everything changed when, we mentioned this before, Bonnie Nettles died of cancer in June of 1985.
Yeah,
it threw a big wrench into the Two's whole narrative. I mean, and it shook Applewhite to his core.
Yeah, he got angered. And it's one of those things where you've preached and preached and preached to these people for, you know, 10 years now that you can go and you don't have to die. And then she, you know, catches that early Uber and people go, hold up a minute here. How's this going to work?
What?
And you would think that when something so ingrained in this teachings turns out to be untrue, that you'd go, oh, it's a lie.
Or wait, the Luciferians won?
Reptile wins.
Right. But nope. From there, Applewhite revised the group's doctrines, installed a really strict hierarchy, placing him at the top. And there was a few positions, and everything was done in tandem after that, and lots of checks and balances.
He was now the only way to get to the next level.
Yeah, the only way to the Father is through me. But the Father is a spaceship.
No,
it's in the tail of a comet. I'm just saying he's crazy.
He's crazy. He now referred to meaning Nettles, as the Father.
Right.
And she's up on the ship.
She's there. That's the
And the only way is through him. His students needed his guidance. And the only guidance he needed was at the next level. There's no one on earth that could help him.
Yeah. And the next level, you know, capitalized next level. That's what he was teaching.
He encouraged his followers to see him as Christ.
Well, there it is. That's what always fucking happens, right?
Yep.
Somebody shows up and finally they're like, oh, this is cool. I'm now Jesus.
Do you like Dave? Yeah, Dave's pretty cool. He told me he's Jesus.
Really? Hold on. Let me pack my shit and say bye to everybody.
The group's previous focus on individual choice was replaced placed with an emphasis on Applewhite's role as the mentor. Applewhite maintained some aspects of the scientific teachings, but in the 80s it really became more of a cult in its focus on faith and submission to authority.
Yeah, it was not only a religion, and it was more like this strict military code of you do this and this and that, and you report to this person, and every part of your day is structured in one way or another, and all things are through him, because he's like, I was no better than you, but I've just been the one who was picked to be this vessel. And
this all came after she died. Did any mention of cancer go out to the followers?
They knew she died of cancer.
But she died in a hospital under a false name. Like we said, they didn't tell her.
Oh, not her real name, Peep?
She was Bo. She was Bo.
Oh, my fault.
The other interesting thing about this story.
She was Peep. I lied to you. It gets so confusing.
Not the first fucking time.
The other interesting thing about this story is while he was very assertive at times, he was also very unsure of himself at times. There would be times where he'd say, I just don't know what I'm doing. We need to pack it in. I'm crazy. I don't get it. I don't know. This is not right.
Now, in watching with a lot of the people that were with him, as they thought that was times when he was fighting backsliding and having these wanting to have, you know, sex and things like that, and it really made him doubt himself.
And the other members were the ones that would say, you are right, you need to stop this right now. We should not quit. We need to surge forward and move ahead.
Yeah, well, they did, and that was the beginning of the end. So now you're getting in the late 80s, and this group has kept a low profile, and few people knew it still existed. And Applewhite's group remained inconspicuous until 92, when they recorded a 12-part video series, which was broadcast via satellite. Now, I say inconspicuous. I brought this up earlier. One of their main recruiting tools they were using in those late 80s, early 90s was these internet sites. They were using it, and that was the only way a lot of people, if you weren't finding these pamphlets in the towns that they happened to be coming through, you would find this internet site, and it was very advanced for the time. It's still, you know, you can go find it. And then they get the idea they're going to record this 12-part series. And I think the best way you can ever make a series is to have people in the audience, but zoom past them and have him stare dead-eye right into the camera.
Right there.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Cuts down on production costs.
It's so weird, too. Like, I understand that they say eye contact, and maintaining eye contact is a part of manipulation.
Tell me when this gets uncomfortable.
Then
I'll double it.
Other than the eye contact, you know, I watched his entire set of videos. He didn't seem charismatic in any way.
He's a hand talker.
He didn't seem convincing in any way. I wouldn't say I was nervous to watch them, but I was like, ooh, I'll be interested to see what's my emotional response is to this.
It's like Norm MacDonald talking about, he's like, you know, I always wanted to go back in time and kill Hitler. But damn, that guy could talk. He's like, what if I had to learn German? And then I get there and I'm like, hey, that silver tongue bastard got me. He's like, what if he's just
right.
A talker?
And so I sat.
Not going to happen here.
No. I sat and listened to him. I'm like, wow, this guy just sounds kind of batshit crazy. And by the way, his brand of crazy, even if he was selling a really good form of soap, I wouldn't buy it.
And then when you watch and you can see the heads in the audience, they're nodding.
They're just nodding along. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't
picking up what he was putting down.
Over the course of the group's existence, several hundred people joined and left. And in the early 90s, their membership dwindled, as one you would think, because it's getting a little out there, and numbering as few as 26. And these defectors gave Applewhite a sense of urgency. Like, I'm going to lose everything if we don't shit or get off the pot. So in May of 93, they decided that they had a branding problem. We need someone to help us with our branding.
So they hired an advertising agency.
Oh, good.
No, that's not true.
Oh.
But they did come up with a new name. They started calling themselves Total Overcomers Anonymous.
Which is not the porno that I thought it was, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
They spent $30,000 to publish a full page ad in the USA Today.
Not those pamphlets like we were talking about before, and not just the thing. That's a serious chunk of change.
So fast forward to when the suicide happens, how bad do you feel if you're that ad rep that sold that ad?
Yeah, you're like, woohoo, like they won some sort of award.
Like you sold that ad, you know, it was a big payday for you. Like you're a young rep, you'd never sold anything before. You big sale, you know. And you know that convinced like three people to join that day.
Oh yeah, and you know that they're like, oh man, don't worry about it. No one's gonna remember that ever happened.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Son of a bitch.
That was not a good day for that young man.
Did this get to anybody who had been in the? You said a lot of people came in and left. Did people see this ad in the USA Today? Did it bring anybody back?
Its publication led 20 former members to rejoin the group.
Right, right. They came back and said, you know. They talked to a lot of these people, and it's like, I was led astray, and I felt lost, and blah, blah, blah. And it was this divine thing, the divine thing that came in and led you back to us.
We wouldn't say the ad was subtle. It warned of catastrophic judgment that was about to befall the earth.
Yeah.
So, you know, that old thing.
So that, along with a series of public lectures, as you do when you're crazy, in 94 caused membership to double from its low point at the beginning of the decade. So they're in an
upswing.
Upswing, yeah. Also in 94,
he was feeling his Wheaties.
Yeah, Apple White. I don't know why I always want to say Apple Bomb, but Apple White. He first spoke of the possibility of suicide as a way to reach the next level, and he explained that everything human has to be forsaken, including the human body, because as we talked about, it's just a vehicle ad nauseum. It's just a vehicle. And before one could ascend, you had to shed that too. And the organization was then renamed Heaven's Gate.
I don't think they have a branding problem anymore.
Oh, man.
So listen to some interviews with former members that are obviously still alive. And
I thought maybe you broke out the Ouija board.
When it was first, suicide was first brought up, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to kill ourselves in this many years.
It was the
indirect, hey, everybody, hey, come gather around the tree stump over here. Hey, can we just have a chat for a second? No, I don't mean this. This isn't really going to happen, but just a quick question for everybody. I don't want everybody to freak out or anything, but if in the distant future, you know, just to make our way up to, you know, the ship, if, you know, it maybe required us to say, I don't know, you know, walk a little ways, that'd be one option.
Yeah, preach.
Option number two, maybe we get into an airplane.
Love flying. I don't like it. Flying, yeah. But for you, I will.
Yeah, or maybe option number three might have to maybe lay down our vehicles, kill ourselves.
Sorry. Can you go back to the second one?
So flying.
Oh,
flying.
Oh, that's much better. Yeah.
I tell you what, man. And even some of the people that left, they're talking about that. And they were talking to this one guy, and he's like, you know, I got everything else. But then I was like, well, this is against all the other teachings. But I really believed in him still. The people that left because of this still were like, but I think he was on to something.
Yeah, they did say that. But then, you know, he was real subtle about bringing it up. But then in that same meeting, he then went to every person individually and said, if it came to that, would you be willing? Yes or no? Answer right now. In front of everyone. And one person said, I don't think so. And that person, a plane ticket was arranged for him later that day.
Oh, they took the second option. Hey!
So on top of that, so they're talking about these crazy things of, you know, maybe we're going to kill ourselves. They also start increasing the focus on sexual desire suppression. Applewhite and a group of others opted for surgical castration. They initially had difficulty finding a willing surgeon, but eventually found one in Mexico.
So but before they all had it done, the idea had come up. Initially, Applewhite brought it up, but then he said, no, we won't do that. Some other members said, no, we think it's a good idea.
Yeah, they wasn't even the pushing force.
Right,
for
correct.
It. Yeah.
They tabled it. He called them back up a year later and said, maybe we do this. Two people volunteered. Mm-hmm. They drew straws. One of them went through with it. This is before they found the surgeon. They had another member of the cult that had been an assistant in a doctor's office that it had to do it to former cancer patients who had to have it done. So the assistant basically had seen it done enough that she could do it. So they went ahead and did it to this, and everything looked like it went fine. Apparently, when you do this, you have to put in where the site is. You have to put in holes to avoid swelling. Mm-hmm. Okay. They put in the holes.
Kevin is not enjoying this, Doc. Keep going.
And everything looks like it went fine, but like an hour later, the person's screaming, and the surgical site has like blown up to the size of a softball, and it keeps growing, and the person's screaming in agony. And Applewhite is like shaking visibly, doesn't know what to do. And eventually they're like, we'll take care of it. Applewhite says, call the cops, throw me in jail. I should never have allowed this to happen.
Wow.
And they said, no, we'll take care of this. We'll take care of this. They eventually go to a hospital. They think that they're going to be arrested. They're not. The hospital takes care of it. They clean the area, do what they don't know. Something went, you know, minor wrong, but wrong. They fix it. Everything is fine. And then from then on, they're like, yeah, we need a surgeon to do this.
And you know what's funny? So you said the first guy.
Nothing is funny about it. They literally
like flipped a coin because they said, we're going to let the universe decide. Mm. The guy who didn't get it because he lost, left the cult, had babies, had a family. Just, and in the
use those balls,
one of the interviews, he's married and he's massaging his pregnant wife's belly. And he's like, it's funny the way things turn out. He still referred to Applewhite as the second coming of Jesus.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
And said if it had happened to him, he wouldn't have regretted it.
Nope. Yeah, right, baby? And baby?
And baby? Yeah.
Yeah. So they go to Mexico and you know, after all that happens, and they have their castrated. Sexuality, they looked at as one of the most powerful forces that bound humans to their bodies and thus hindered their efforts to evolve to the next level. And he taught that next level beings had no reproductive organs, but that Luciferian beings had genders. And he also cited a verse in the New Testament that said that there would not be marriage in heaven. In addition, he required members to adopt similar clothing and haircuts, possibly to reinforce that they were non-sexual family. And the thing about it is, a lot of jumpsuits, a lot of plaid, a lot of just terrible looking clothing. So that brings us to the late 90s. And guess what's coming? Guess what they find in 95?
The Hale-Bopp Comet.
Hale-Bopp Comet. Applewhite's final and most fiendish instructions to his followers. We're going to tell you about after the break on Hysteria 51. I bet it was
Windows 95.
Yeah. You made them all watch that video with friends.
Scott.
Lisa, why are you looking at me like that was just something I just made up? Out of the blue and nothing. No, that's literally, that was a recap. And you're all caught up to speed. If you're just joining us on the hilarious Hour O' Heaven's Gate.
Oh, I thought we were doing the name show. That's what I signed up for. After
Courtney.
The movie.
Courtney over there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Courtney. Yeah.
Ugh.
That's what we call in the business a callback.
This is a business?
Courtney Odie.
There you go. Mixing it in.
Yeah.
We just did a Herald. I think we did a Herald.
That's like the sixth reptile conspiracy bot. I'm going to fucking break that thing if you keep doing it.
Why don't you just break the bot?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, comes out of him.
Fair enough.
I've been saying that for a long fucking time.
All right, so we're getting into the late 90s. It's go time. It's hammer time. It's coming up.
Yeah, it's something.
We told you 1995 Hale-Bopp, but we're going to skip to October of 96. The group rented a mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, California. They had that kind of cheese because they made stupid amounts of money being a fuckhole of a cult.
Well, no, I mean, what you mentioned earlier, they
made
all
money.
All the internet stuff they were doing.
Yeah.
They had like regular clients. Like they had a country club.
He got very early into creating websites. Applewhite was an HTML pioneer.
So you can still...
they called him the Clip Art King of California.
Is that anything like the Sausage King of Chicago? It's
very much so, but less balls.
Abe Froman. Did you know that you can still go to their website? If you go to Heaven's... I think it's heavensgate.com, actually. Across the top, it blinks in red letters, red alert, red alert. And it still looks like it did the day that
you're not looking. I just pulled her up.
The day they committed suicide.
He, fun on top of that.
Wow, yeah, it
you
does.
Can email them, and it is still
and get a response
because they left two individuals, a man and a woman. They think now this is under conjecture.
Wait, are you telling me that they're not responding from the spaceship?
Who is responding is under conjecture because they say they're not and stuff like that. But anyway, people will respond because they are the leftovers for the second coming, whenever that might be.
Now, are they another duo or the two? Are they the new two?
I don't know. They're called Tasty and Freeze. I don't know. That's the ice cream shop at the end of my block.
That's enough John Mellencamp for today.
Anyway, they recorded two video messages. This is in October of 96. Which they offered their viewers a last chance to evacuate Earth. So it's crunch time, as you're saying. Like he's telling you, shit or get off the pot, so to speak. You know,
this is when they learned about the approach of the Hale-Bopp comet.
And you know what's funny? The guy who found it said, "Man, this is the kind of thing that we're going to release this, and it's going to be visible for like 18 months." There's going to be some religious cults are probably going to kill themselves.
Yes, man, I heard that.
Talk about
wow.
Yeah, he's like. This thing's going to be really bright in the sky. I bet some people clock out to this
thing. Only happens every 2,000 years. Yeah.
Wow. Talk about foreshadowing, man.
Applewhite now believed that Nettles was aboard the spaceship trailing the comet. We'll get into why they believe
that's
there's a spaceship
in a minute. I keep sending the guys from Twisted Tin stickers to put on the spaceships down there that say Nettles on board, but they won't do it. It pisses me off. we're getting buzzed. She's waving. Oh, no, that was a finger.
So they planned on rendezvousing with Nettles. He told his followers that the vessel would transport them to their destination, mm-hmm. and that there was a government conspiracy to suppress the word of the craft. So the reason that they thought there was a spaceship specifically behind the Hale-Bopp, they weren't the only ones. They didn't actually even originate the idea that there was a spaceship there. There was a belief amongst the UFO community because there was one or two pictures that were taken of the Hale-Bopp that made it appear that there was something else behind the comet.
It looked like there was a piece of glitter right behind it that just caught.
And with that picture, it ignited the UFO community.
Right.
Lots of episodes of Coast to Coast were dedicated to it. In fact, one of the members of the Heaven's Gate cult heard that specific episode of Coast to Coast.
Oh.
Hi, this is Batshit Crazy Odie calling in to talk to you.
and went and told Applewhite about it. You literally, like, I was listening to Art Bell. This Hale-Bopp comet has a spaceship behind it. And that was what Applewhite needed to hear. Because what you don't know and what we haven't told you yet is that Applewhite believed he was running out of time. He believed at the time that he had cancer. Turns out, fast forwards after his death, they did a postmortem. He didn't have cancer, uh-huh. but he thought he did. And he thought he was running out of time. And so he did a lot of this for like selfish reasons.
Yeah, very much so.
Same with the castration
stuff. What you don't say.
Same with the castration stuff. Like he thought that they should all be castrated because he had a hard time controlling himself. So like, oh yeah, we should all get rid of our junk. Anyway, but back to the Hale-Bopp. They thought that ship was back there, and he's like, perfect, that's our ticket out of here. All right, everybody, we're gonna hop on the ship, and to do so, we'll just need to die. But then, you know, they covered themselves, he said, and it even says on their website, if you go there right now, regardless of if the ship is actually there or not, that part's kind of inconsequential.
Well, then what do they get on if there's no ship?
They'll still be transported, don't worry about it.
And you can look up, there are pictures of the Hale-Bopp comet. There's a couple that look like a piece of glitter or something. Now, you got to realize, what is a comet shedding but ice? And so, depending on how you look at it, things are going to glimmer, but there just so happened to be one picture that looked like there's something glimmering behind it. So, obviously, it's, you know, it's Nettles doing a drive-by.
So, obviously, the fervor around the Hale-Bopp was enough, certainly, to convince the followers to get on board. So, in March of 97... the group isolated themselves, recorded farewell statements.
And that's a big one. You can still see all these farewell statements. And the thing I will say about them is they were happy. None of them look
elated.
Well, yeah, they were going to Tello, right?
They are 100% believing this. They are down. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is like fucking A, bring it on kind of thing. You know?
We're going home.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They praised Applewhite in their final. go watch these. They're telling him, this guy is our savior. Don't cry for us. And in fact, some of them threw shade on other cults. And that was what was funny. Like, hey, this other cult over here?
Yeah, that.
Suck it. I mean, they didn't really say that, but some of them were like, these other people that believe stupid crap, we're about to kill ourselves. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Because, I'm always going to be in space and Tila.
And in their final messages, when they addressed their family, they even said, listen, guys, this isn't about you. All right.
Oh, okay.
This is about me
and my
happiness.
You're
the idiots who don't believe this, and you're all going to be a Luciferian scumbag, bunch of choy. I'm going to be a crewman. I might be, in janitorial services. I'm still going to be a crewman on a spaceship.
Applewhite recorded a video shortly before his death as well, in which he termed the suicides their final exit, of course. And he also said, quote, we do, in all honesty, hate this world. He kind of showed his cards there, right?
Yeah.
It's speculated that Applewhite settled on suicide because he had said the group would ascend during his lifetime, and thus appointing a successor was not feasible since he thought he had cancer.
Yeah, and boy, isn't that the ultimate control? And be like, it'll happen while I'm alive.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys.
Also,
in preparation for the suicides, they thought they needed to do it in a very specific way. They all got the matching outfits, the Nikes that you've heard so much about, and then the purple shrouds they all put over.
They put plastic bags over their head, then covered that with that purple shroud.
Plastic bags to ensure that they died from the poison. Yeah. And they had patches made, actually two rounds of patches. They didn't like the first round. The second round said Heaven's Gate Away Team in reference to Star Trek.
It looked just like a NASA patch.
Yeah. Away Team being away teams from Star Trek.
And you can buy them online. Now, they're not the originals.
That's disgusting.
But you can buy them. Yeah. The Suicide Slacky started on March 22nd. Most members took barbiturates and alcohol. The barbiturates were put into applesauce. Yeah. The alcohol was vodka. Mm-hmm. It's easiest to drink. They placed bags over their head. They wore, all that stuff. A bag that contained a few dollars and a form of identification was placed beside the bodies. $5 in change.
In quarters, yeah.
And the deaths occurred over
laundry?
3 days.
What was that for?
There's
no explanation for that.
It's like you're told for the River Styx. They, for whatever reason, they thought they needed $5 in change.
Yeah, okay.
So their identification, all that stuff is placed right there. If they had glasses, they were folded up neatly and put next to the bodies. And the deaths occurred, like I said, over 3 days. And Applewhite was one of the last four to die. Three assistants helped him commit suicide, then killed themselves.
The assistants were the only ones that still had bags over their heads because everyone killed themselves in turns so that the next people could remove the bags, put the shrouds on.
Yeah.
And the assistants, obviously, the last three couldn't do that for themselves.
And you know what? We'll play for you the anonymous call to the sheriff's department. This tipped them off that there had been a suicide.
Hello? Yes, I need to report an anonymous tip. Who do I talk to?
Okay, this is regarding what?
This is regarding a mass suicide, and I can give you the address.
And that caller actually is a former Heaven's Gate member who knew this was going to happen because he had received a package from Applewhite with a tape.
Mm-hmm.
He liked to send those tapes, didn't he?
Man, he sure did. And it was the largest, I think you actually said this earlier, the largest group suicide involved U.S. citizens on American soil and the largest since the 78 mass suicide of 920 Americans in Jonestown. And Applewhite's body was found seated on the bed of the mansion's master bedroom. He was gone or ascended.
When they helped him, when the three assistants helped, did he do it the same way, barbiturates and alcohol, or was it a different way?
He did it the same way. They all did.
They all did, yeah. And they encouraged members that were outside of there to, there's still time. And over the next few days, people committed suicide elsewhere when they heard about this, former members did.
One of the most interesting things I found, when you talk about Applewhite calling himself Jesus, okay? If you go watch his videos, all of these videos that you can watch are all recorded within 6 months of the suicide. And he on one of the videos, he says, am I Jesus? I'll leave that to you. But yes.
Yeah, no.
Well, let me help you.
I'm going to leave you to this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It's so interesting that he references God. He references Jesus and uses a Bible verse or two. But in all of his other speaking, he never references the teachings of the Bible or of Jesus or of God in any way, shape, or form.
Other than Jesus was an alien and he's just the new coming.
None of it has to do with religion in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. It's all his own teachings. But at some point he did, near the end, didn't he tell them that, yes, I am Christ?
But Christ was an alien. Like, when he put out a pamphlet, the largest letters across the top were UFO. This is all about aliens.
That's my point. Like, what are the basic tenets of Christianity or Judaism? They're like in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Robot.
Partying is not one of them.
Not the same.
In the New,
a close reading of Leviticus.
In the New Testament, you know, love your neighbor as yourself.
The book of Radio Shack.
And all of that kind of stuff. He doesn't teach any of that stuff. Like, this is all just about going to the next level and aliens. And it's so weird that there really aren't teachings in here other than you can't have sex with anybody and cut your hair.
So why then? Why did he do this?
Because it was all selfish.
Exactly. And there are many popular commentators, people in the news, they speculate that Applewhite brainwashes followers, but many, many, many academics have rejected that brainwashing label as it oversimplifies this. That does not express the nuance of the process by which followers and stuff are influenced. These people didn't just meet him.
Well,
a lot of them were in this for decades.
Not only that, nowadays, most academics, whoever they are, say that brainwashing really isn't even a thing.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing. Teaching someone and then adopting that is very different from brainwashing. And something that they were, I guess, willing to follow Applewhite, they as in, you know, his followers, in suicide because they had been totally dependent on him.
Yep.
Everything from how they shave, how do they cook, how do they do everything. And hence, they weren't suited for life in his absence. Like, if he leaves, what do we do? And when you look at these people, and I don't mean to generalize, but they all have that sense of, you know, that person. You know what I mean? When you listen to them talk, they're missing something in their life. And we've all met that person, and maybe they haven't had an Applewhite to glom onto, or maybe they have done it in other ways, you know, and that's not a bashing on religion or anything like that.
That's my job.
People were deeply, deeply flawed individuals that were just looking for any kind of escape, and he exploited it. And others look at kind of two factors. He isolated them socially, and he cultivated an attitude of complete religious obedience in them. And what we say by, you know, isolating them, no family, no friends. You want a friend? They're here. But you're not going to go hang out with them.
This is like so many other cults. You get them in and with your, well, I know he wasn't that charismatic as we were talking about. You get them in one way, but then you start to isolate them from all that they love and you make them believe that the only reason that they're on earth is to follow you. So if you're going to be gone, then what's their point in living?
Right? Exactly. And now, this is something that I brought up earlier, but a lot of people covering it covered the suicides as that were looking at the suicides. Media outlets focused on Applewhite's sexuality. And in fact, the New York Post dubbed him the gay guru. And there's a lot of gay rights activists like Troy Perry. He argued that Applewhite's repression and society's rejection of same-sex relationships ultimately led to this. And I agree with that a lot because I think that I went into it earlier, but when you tell someone that they're so wrong and then they lash out in other ways, but this idea has failed to gain support among the academics.
And think about the time this happened. It was, you know, I don't know, 3 years or so after Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was a much different world as far as the acceptance of homosexuality than we have today.
It was right at the cusp. Like, it was too bad it was at that time.
Yes, exactly.
Talking about these academics, they argue that Applewhite's sexuality was not the primary driving force behind his asceticism, which they believe resulted from a variety of factors, though his sexuality was probably a role, but it's not the only thing. Like, it wasn't, well, I'm gay and I can't be gay, so we better all commit suicide. You're not just going to do that because of it. You got a lot of other things wrong with you.
The big distinction here is no one told him he couldn't be gay. He hated himself for being gay.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at society in that time, it
well,
was
especially
a,
back when what he got divorced in 1968.
Yeah, that
I mean,
was,
that's even before Stonewall.
Yeah,
right. So to be gay then was just
I think it played
terribly
a lot into it. I agree with you, but like you said, and like they're saying here, that's not the only driving factor. You got to be a, you know, have a few screws loose to go down this road. Anytime I guess, start seeing yourself as a messiah, you jumped a step or two.
Or you started a podcast with John Goforth.
It's a valid point.
Thank you.
So whether it's be by master manipulation or the blind following of a comfortable narrative by loyal subjects, the sad result is the same. They committed suicide. 39 people died. Others later, but this was the mass suicide because of one man telling them that they needed to go to a spaceship behind Comet Hale-Bopp. There it is. Wow, that is a fucked up story.
It is. It is. And, you know, I think, you know, let's get into... Normally, this is where we talk about... what's true and what isn't. Do we think what well, we know what happened here.
Yeah, this is a true story.
All of it's true. And it's a really sad story.
Kevin, we brought you here for a reason. We're worried that this is happening to you.
Yes.
And
you saw my new shoes?
Well, when you come over and there's 16 people in robes behind
quiet,
you.
Quiet, they can hear you.
Yeah, I know. And can you at least leave them outside next time? No, but this is normally
calm
the part
down, everyone.
So we know it's true, but I think now would be a good time. Why don't we talk about why we think it happened. And I'll start. I think a good place here is I think we should differentiate, or at least I'm going to.
Because I'm not.
Between the leaders of this cult and the members, okay? So specifically talking about Applewhite, I think just calling him crazy gives him a free pass.
Do anyone justice. Anything. Yeah. I mean, it's a fun thing to say, but yeah.
I think he was a selfish, bitter man. I think that everything he did was surrounding Heaven's Gate was in an effort to further his own emotional needs. So he wanted to distance himself from his own sexuality. Great. I'm going to create an environment where sexuality no longer matters. When later in life he started to believe that his health was failing him, great. We're all going to go to a place where health no longer matters. He could not find in the general world, he could not find a level of respect. People did not respect the man. He couldn't keep a job. He was part of starting a cult where he had nothing but respect. I think that he created his own universe, and he did it at the cost of 39 people's lives.
Not just those 39 families and friends,
of course,
and all the other people around the world that he just destroyed. But
I think that the members that committed suicide were people that were looking they were lost souls. They were looking for direction in life. And I think lost souls get taken in a lot of different ways. Like sometimes they, when they don't know what to do, they join the military. Sometimes when they don't know what
to
do.
That's not to say that that's a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing.
No.
But like sometimes when people are lost, they glom on to things because they see that other people have done that. Sometimes they just join a normal religion. Sometimes they become gamers.
They buy a bunch of cats.
Right,
you know?
Right, right, right.
Sometimes they start a podcast with John Goforth. Yeah.
but these folks were these folks were certainly naive, and they were lost souls. They're like lost puppies. But you can't. I don't think they become blameless in this situation because they were adults and they were of sound mind to one extent or another, and they did have families that they abandoned in this effort. And you know, I also think, and I'll end with this, that this is somewhat of a cautionary tale of believing in everything. When we talk about a lot of UFOs and other stuff on this show, and it's fun and exciting. I mean, who doesn't like looking up in the heavens and wondering what's out there and what's possible and what could be? But I really do believe that a healthy skepticism and not believing everything that you're told keeps your mind right. and being willing to listen, take it in, and then use your mind to judge will keep you out of cults. And I think that that's healthy.
Yeah, I agree with the vast majority of that. The thing about it is these people that find themselves, at least in this cult, I can say, one nice thing we can look at is they were adults. It's not something where children were being indoctrinated because they weren't having that. So you don't have a Branch Davidian or a Jonestown type thing, but these are quote unquote adults that have made decisions for themselves. These are lost individuals. These are lost souls. And like you said, they were looking for something. And a lot of them were looking for anything. And make no mistake, like you said, he was throwing that UFO flag out very early from the beginning. Hey, we're out there for UFOs. And these people were early into the whole aspect of trying to find UFOs. What's out there? What's this new age thinking? And I'm serious. Go look at these videos and stuff. They all have the same feel about them. The people that went through with it, and you'll find a lot of these people weren't in there for 6 months, a year, 2 years. They've been in it 15, 20, 25 years or however, 22 or whatever it worked out to be the longest, but they found something in him that was lacking in their life, and they were willing to go however far it was needed to follow him. And that is a scary, scary thing. When you allow someone to have that power over your life, how can you let go like that? And these people had loved ones.
It's because they lacked that filter. Well,
but they had, a lot of them, loved ones that were there for them. So I always wonder, how do you go down that road? How do you find yourself doing this road where it's not like a lot of these people were shunned and runaways that were, he was picking them up on the street. These people were coming from loving homes with money or at least, comfortable backgrounds, not per se money. And they were still failing at life somehow. And that's how you get these cults. This is a sad thing. In my life, I have found some people that grew up in cults. I worked with someone, and you don't realize it a lot of times. And then you're like, oh shit, I'm in a cult. And if you watch interviews with Applewhite, he talks about that. A lot of people are going to say this is a cult, blah, blah, blah. And he puts it down. Then in other times he's talking, he's like, well, with this cult, you're like, well, you just called it a cult yourself, man. The guy was charismatic, I guess, but I sure don't see it. And I don't know how you go down. I think you have to have a special type of person that falls for at least this type of cult. And unfortunately, he found 38 of them at minimum. Kevin?
I think you guys both have some good points. I think, as we said at the beginning, it's not a joke. I mean, life's really fucking hard, right? And mm-hmm. we all have our ways of dealing with life. And for the very, very vast majority of us, we have our vices, drinking or whatever, but, we tend to temper our fears of, say, death or fear of the unknown or fear of inadequacy or whatever it may be. We're able to temper it on a certain level. But I think maybe people who do end up killing themselves in a cult, like this instance, there's something there that is given to them, or they are just being led by somebody when they can't even lead their own life, perhaps. And I think it just comes down to a lot of pain, a lot of fear, a lot of emotion, and being manipulated one way or another into following somebody who, yes, was a narcissist, who did all these things for his own betterment and then projected it out onto his followers. And unfortunately, like you said, there were 38 people who went along with it, whether it be the castration, and then of course ultimately the suicide. So it's about him, in a way. It's about her, but it became very different after she died.
I don't think that in any point though she would have steered away from his way of thinking, though.
I mean, right, and after she died, when he was maybe sensing he was going to lose some control, he it seems like he put like a
I think that was a great point you made about those folks really enjoying letting someone else be in charge.
Of course, and stand up and fight their battles. And these people perhaps felt helpless, and this is somebody who represents them, and this is somebody who doesn't play by the rules, and this is somebody who's also giving them salvation and this shit has happened, will happen. It happens in many parts of our lives, I believe, on various levels. So I don't understand it, but I do think about it a lot, and it's unfortunately something that will continue to happen as long as there are human beings.
So that's our thoughts, Nation. How many of you guys remembered this? Is this something that stuck on your brains? Like, I know John and I, we were big on, we got to do this because it's something that we really remembered. Or was this something you're like, oh, I didn't really know about that? Also, what are your thoughts? Do you think that it was for a different reason? Were these lost souls? Were these crazies? What are your thoughts? How can they tell us, John?
Hop on Hysteria Nation. Go to Facebook. Find our discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just search Hysteria Nation on Facebook.
Oh, so it's not just a clever name. No, it is just a clever name.
It's all it is.
Yeah, that's
really
all it is. Also, don't forget, if you're hopping on things, go to Twitter, @Hysteria51Pod. You can also go to patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find radio dramas, extra episodes, up all nights.
There will be an up all night after this episode.
There will be. And also, we're going to get you some swag on there. You can get yourself some t-shirts and some awesomeness, some stickers and drawn pictures. But if you want to hear yourself on the show, all you got to do is leave us a voicemail. 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And we got three of them to play. Three of these bad dogs that have came in.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it.
I have not listened to these. I download them, saved them. We're going to listen to them for the first time.
Get ready to edit, C-Bot.
Here's number one.
Hi, C-Bot. Fuck you, Brent.
Hi, C-Bot. Fuck you, Brent, I think is what I just heard.
I heard hi, C-Bot. Let's play it again.
Hold on. Here we go.
Hi, C-Bot. Fuck you, Brent.
Oh, nope. That's, yeah.
No, that's fuck you, Brent. So there's number one.
All right.
I think we're not going to play the next two.
Stop it.
Number two.
What up, dogs? It's the Flynn Dog from Indiana. I love your show. It's totally awesome. Hey, I was just calling. I had an idea for a show. I didn't know if you guys would be interested in it. I'd love to hear some information on possibly lost ancient technology. Excuse me. I know there's a lot of talk about stuff like the H-blocks and other, you know, saw marks at the tombs in Egypt and things like that. But I think that would be a really cool show to talk about potential lost ancient technology. Hope
cut out a little bit there at the end, but
that
I really
the,
like
that was the government cutting him off.
Places like Teotihuacan and things like that were megalithic structures, and how were they put together? And there's places that look like they had rotary saw bits, like that it looks just like things were cut. But yet, this is at a time
or
where
the
they
hieroglyphics with iPhones on them,
but they didn't have a wheel. You know what I mean? So that is absolutely an episode that is on our radar and will be coming up. And Indiana, we can't escape those Indiana bastards. Kevin's ex-boyfriend's from Indiana. What's his name again?
The court says I can't say.
Restraining orders are a bitch.
Amanda Parr. My social media Facebook account is Queen Amanda King. You already know. Bye-bye.
That is self-serving at its best right there.
But we did promise that if you called this show, you would hear us if it wasn't hate speech, and that isn't. So God love you, Amanda. Thanks for calling the show.
Amanda, you might be my favorite voicemail ever. I'm just going to start doing the other. Hysteria 51. You can find us at the following. Fuck all y'all. Listen to us.
She didn't curse.
I curse. Okay. There's the big difference. You gotta.
Okay, we actually, Amanda, do you have a show? Can we have C-Bot call your show?
Yeah.
I have standards, so I already talked to her.
C-Bot, since when do you have standards?
Since Tuesday.
Oh, it's an upgrade.
Oh, okay, good.
John, you know what? We got a little time. We're long. Let's just go super long. We got any 5-star reviews to go on this one?
We do.
So we had a little bit of a lull here, Kevin. We hadn't got we gotten some 5 stars, but people hadn't left reviews, and all of a sudden we got a whole bunch of them.
Oh, nice!
All right, 5-star reviews. First one.
I'm sorry. That's really funny. Yeah, producer Lisa's telling jokes while you're over there. Keep going. Keep going. Sorry.
First one. My name is Amanda Parr. 5 stars. My social media. No, that's not true. I just made that up.
I was sitting here, my jaw dropped. I'm like, wasn't that the same name? You can see how much I pay attention. I'm like, I think I saw that name before.
All right. First one. Masterpiece, 5 stars.
Mm.
If you call our show a masterpiece, you always get red.
What's the name?
The Not So Green Jelly.
I like it.
I like it. Brent and John and C-Bot are masters at teaching while joking. I actually hear about subjects that are out there without being preached to that I must think one way or the other. Don't get it twisted. They are skeptics. John much more than Brent. But they give everything a fair shake. This is a must listen if you're into the paranormal or conspiracy world.
Wow.
All right. Next one by JDP number 13. Title, Funny! ! 5 stars. They look at the paranormal and make it fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like that.
5 stars. So Good by Karen the Meh.
You know it's getting hard coming up with names because there's so many on iTunes.
Like, yeah.
You know, well, you can be Bill 3,412 or...
Or call yourself Meh.
Or Blossom Fan 1.
Oh, Brent, you're going to like this one. So good. But tell John it wouldn't kill him to realize there are things out there he can't wrap his head around. Sometimes I think he is skeptical for sport.
Oh, man. You didn't know I go by Karen the Mum.
5 stars by D is Darkness. Well done. I love C-Bot.
Somebody has to.
So C-Bot figured out how to get into iTunes, yeah. Is what I figured. Last one, Jen CHNNH, a best podcast find, 5 stars.
Ooh.
This is a long one, so buckle in. Have caught up on all my go-to podcasts. I decided to search around for something new and came across Hysteria 51. I love a good conspiracy theory, and after logging too many hours of political podcasts, something with a sense of humor was in order. After listening to the most recent episode, I would gladly recommend this podcast to anyone in need of a good laugh. Brent and John had me laughing out loud in my office. I am also native to Central Illinois. I'm also a native to Central Illinois who now lives in New Hampshire and teaches at a liberal arts college.
Hey, there you go.
Where no one has ever heard of the Bon Air in Alton. Now, we mentioned that in a recent episode. It really put a smile on my face to hear about things from back home. Very excited to catch up on previous season's episodes. This should keep me busy for a while. Keep that content coming. I will spread the word to other listeners in the Upper Valley.
That is awesome.
That's wonderful.
What was it?
Jen CHNNH.
Awesome.
I'm assuming that means Chicago in New Hampshire.
Yeah, well, guys, thank you for all of those. We really appreciate them. Hopefully we didn't bring you down too much. This was kind of a downer episode. A bunch of people died for the ramblings of a madman, which actually a lot of our episodes are about that. But unfortunately, this one was something in our lifetime and a sad one.
And certainly, it goes without saying, but we'll say it. If any of them happen to hear this episode, our condolences to the family of the people that died that are still out there today. That is, it is horrible what happened to your loved ones, what they did to themselves, and it is a horrible situation.
And you know what? Don't ever look at that as it's something that you did, because these people were led down a path that was the wrong path, and they were unwilling to see the light or pull themselves out of it. And hopefully, you know, through the years and understanding, you found some sort of reconciliation and atonement for that.
By a selfish, bitter fuckstick.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually on his Wikipedia page once I'm done.
If it's not, it will be.
So, Kevin, man, we bring you in for all the chuckle fests and hilarious episodes, don't we?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Hey, do you got a few minutes? I want to talk to you about a vehicle in the sky I've been talking about. Only you can get there. It's called Kevin's Gate, and all you need is a razor blade.
I just can't wait till we do a second episode on simulation theory.
Yeah. It's not.
Oh, we're going to. I don't even care if we release it. We're going to just to have you on it.
Great. It's fine.
Though I don't know if I'm ready because his counselor keeps having me come so he can confront me. So I'm not really.
Those are really challenging sessions for me, Brent.
I don't know if I'm ready for that. No, Kevin, thanks for being on.
Oh, thanks as always, guys.
It was a lot of fun.
How many Werther's originals do you go through in one of those sessions, Kevin?
How many bags? 2.
So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Kevin.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.